Welcome back, WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are in the Ville, Catonsville. Don Moeller, Johnny O joining us here. Two Baltimore County executives just talking about building schools and making the police work and the water work and making sure everything's happening here. But schools is where and, you want to
But
go.
I always want to start by thanking our sponsors, Fadley, State Fair, Jennings,
and all month long.
And the Affordable Housing Conference brought to you, sponsored by Center Maryland. So we really appreciate our friends getting behind Baltimore Positive.
I'll be
Thank
straight
you very
about
much.
That. All right.
Yeah, I do. Education. I mean, this is the education exec. I want to talk. Let's start with school construction then. Mm-hmm. But I do want to talk about Better Baltimore County and how you got to 2018, because that was an incredible journey. But since we ended with schools, you fought and fought and fought. You had one legislative priority. Mm-hmm. It was school construction.
School construction.
So walk
building.
Us through that.
Well, I mean, you know as well as anyone, because you've been there both as exec and before in any number of roles where, you know, we talked about infrastructure. Mm-hmm. And one of the critical areas of need is rebuilding and renovating and expanding our school stock. My predecessor before Don, or Don's predecessor, you know, the late Kevin Kamenetz, started a $1.6 billion Schools for Our Future program, which was all about building new schools and renovating and adding air conditioning across all of Baltimore County. That plan sort of has come through into my administration in terms of paying for the last couple of years. Part of the challenge was that some of it involved the county because the state had not been sort of right. keeping pace with the need, forward funding some of the state priorities. Given some of the fiscal realities we faced, I realized that it was really imprudent to exacerbate those problems by adding the county to forward fund the state portion. So I went down to the legislature last session. My only priority was asking for several hundred million dollars. We asked for $500 million, $100 million over 5 years every year, to not only finish the critical need of Schools for Our Future, which we have put forward the county portion of in this budget, but also to make sure the state was stepping up to finish Schools for Our Future, but then to start moving forward on the need at Lansdowne High School, to move forward on Towson and Delaney, even look at places like Sparrows Point or Lock Raven. There are all sorts of needs, both in infrastructure as well as overcrowding, that we're going to have to really get right. Unfortunately, the bill only passed the House. It was almost unanimous coming out of the House. The Build to Learn Act, it would have provided $100 million over 4 years to Baltimore County, which really would have put us on a good footing to both finish the Schools for the Future in a very aggressive time frame.
What would it have provided statewide, Johnny? It was a couple billion?
It was over $2 billion
right.
statewide.
Right.
And so we really were focused and honed because it's really such an important imperative. Fortunately, you know, our efforts have paid off. We didn't get it this year as we would have wanted, but the new speaker, Adrienne Jones, who replaced the late Speaker Mike Bush, a dear friend and mentor of mine, but she's announced that House Bill 1 of the legislative session, and I believe Senate Bill 1, will be the Build to Learn Act, and it's going to provide over $2 billion statewide for school construction. So that's why, I mean, I took a little bit of a sort of optimistic risk, but we started the planning and the design this year for Lansdowne. So that's going to be ready to go in terms of next year. We're going to be ready to go day one. We have plans. We have our county funding for a bunch of Northeast schools and some other replacements and renovations.
Can I ask
renovations.
You about that? Because both of my schools, so I went to Colgate Elementary. I went to Hollabird and Dundalk. But
yeah.
my elementary and high school now, I mean, and Colgate, I wanted to get there that day that you were over there, because that's
yep.
my neighborhood.
Yep.
That's where I went.
Yep.
I couldn't believe it was built in 1924.
Mm-hmm.
It was built in 1924, my
yep.
elementary school.
Right.
Like,
yep.
I never occurred to me that it could be 100 years old.
Yeah.
And I must say, I drove by and it was just gone one day, and that's just... That's the worst feeling. I mean, it's a good feeling that it's going to happen,
yeah.
but I wasn't there for
we'll,
whatever
We'll get
happened.
You out there for the ribbon cutting.
There you go.
Dude, it is so weird to drive by and see nothingness there. In the same way, I drive up Delville Avenue now where I once met Don Moeller, and it's like the Taj Mahal. And my name's on the wall, which makes it even more fun. But why did Dundalk and Cole, why did my schools get, obviously 1924 it is what it is. I can only imagine the water fountains weren't working on the second floor there in
1979. Condition and capacity. I mean, that's really the driver. And we actually have in this budget planning money for a long-term plan so that we're looking at all the school facilities, and we are going to systematically get through them. With this additional funding, we made some hard choices in this budget to put forward additional county money towards that goal. We put one of the highest ever increases of maintenance of effort in our school system operating budget because the conditions matter, but so too do the people. We're paying our teachers more. We are hiring more support personnel, more pupil personnel workers, more counselors, more social workers.
You know what I want to say? I want to say you're spending too much on a school. I want to, because you're going to be that guy, right? You're going to be. This is your thing,
we have to demand accountability too. And so we've actually changed the laptop program, for example, right? And I'm all for technology in the classroom, but if we're not meeting the most basic of our kids' needs, literacy by grade 3, for example. So this year we did two things. We reduced the ratio at the earliest grades, kindergarten through second grade. Instead of being 1-to-1, it's 1-to-5, which is going to give our kids less screen time. And we know that from academic studies that there are some concerns about overexposing our kids
on
screen time.
It's the first time in human history we've dealt with this,
at the earliest of ages. The other thing we're doing is we're doing a 3-year conversion from more expensive laptops to Chromebooks. Over 3 years, it's going to save $25 million in operational. So we're going to redirect those. So it's not just more money. It's how are we being accountable and effective with how we're deploying the resources we're putting into the school system so that we are focusing it in the places that have the biggest impact and really trying to drive progress. But if you are not in a clean, safe, modern building, it says something to the teachers. It says something to the families that live there. And if we're not providing... Similarly, if we're not providing the resources either through teacher salaries or support personnel, it says something about it. And look, people vote with their feet. We don't have a monopoly. You look at a place like Howard County, they invest significantly in their schools. They are well-maintained, they're modern, they're clean.
And always have, kind of, sort of. That's the reputation, right?
And they have the right resources. And I'm not saying we aspire to be Howard County. We are Baltimore County. I'm proud of who we are. But when people look for a place to stay or a place to move, if they look at Colgate and they say, man,
new school,
there's a brand new school. That's awesome. Community meetings are in there. There's an active rec council.
I'm a landowner in that neighborhood, so I appreciate that.
But it's that, and it's like it's about like providing, again, schools and jobs. And then all those things will help drive down crime. So if it's safe, there's a school, there are job opportunities, people say, man, I'm moving to Baltimore County. It's affordable. It's got access to everything. And that's what we want.
Well, so speaking of Baltimore County and the great things that are taking place, we sort of end with a bit of a lightning round. We'll sort of jump around different topics. More great news this week on Trade Point Atlantic Wind Energy.
Orsted.
I mean, you got it done. You took it to the, you got it over the finish line back soon after you were elected. You got an agreement with Trade Point. Talk to us a little bit about the latest agreement. Well, talk to us about what's going on at Trade Point, particularly the latest agreement.
I guess it's jobs, right?
So Trade Point is projected to have, I believe, over 5,000 jobs on site in the next year. This latest announcement by Orsted, which is an offshore wind company, they'll be doing a lot of the assembly there. It paves the way for some manufacturing, which I think is the next sort of logical step at a place like Trade Point. There's incredible assets there, deep water access, port, rail, highway. And Don, when he was executive, really brought this agreement to term where we sort of put all that infrastructure in place where the roads and the water and sewer on that site are equipped to be a national leading logistics hub, job center, transportation, assembly, manufacturing, and we're seeing the fruits of that.
Well, so many things could have been done right there, right? Like, and I guess in the aftermath of anything, you say, what is that going to be? And then there has to be a vision for that, right?
Well, and you know as well as anyone, I was as sad as anyone to see the steel plant go away because I know what that meant for so many people. But when you compare the personal sacrifice that you ask people to make with their health who work there, and you look at what the community there had to endure in terms of environmental degradation, and you have a company in Trade Point that's come in, spent tens of millions of dollars to clean up the environmental stuff, and now is providing jobs that don't require people to sacrifice their personal health, and we're not going back and impacting the natural environment. that's really encouraging. And actually, this most recent announcement, we're literally building a green economy. So we're giving people jobs while improving the environment. It's such a great juxtaposition from what we sort of had asked people to make trade-offs on. And now it's like, no, you can have a job and literally help, you know, this area and the planet be healthier and greener. Yeah. And that's, I mean, that's exciting.
It was very exciting. And then at the same time, as I said, we jump around. You've jumped right in on the most challenging crisis probably that's facing governmental leaders everywhere, and that's the opioid crisis. I looked at some data, you know, Johnny, that in 2018 we had 348, you know these numbers well, deaths in Baltimore County. That was up from 323 in 2017. You've said enough is enough. We can't keep going down the same road. So talk to us, and because, again, it's, we're talking about Baltimore Positive. The city deals with this issue.
Yeah.
It's a regional issue. Talk to us about how Baltimore County is going to try to get a handle on this.
The city has the highest number in the state. We have the second highest number of overdose deaths in the state. If these were murder rates, you know, people would be really, really up
in arms.
Well,
they're human beings who were no longer here. So
that's right. And so every life matters and every life is personal. So we said we have to do more, and I'm proud that we are doing more. So we've connected first and foremost with the Hopkins Bloomberg School of Health. They've come in, they've opened up an online portal where people can say what's working, what needs to happen. We've convened two public, we do a lot of public hearings. We love to engage the public. We've had two public hearings, and they, along with some of our just brightest minds, are coming up with a list of recommendations about what we should be doing. In the meantime, we've successfully finished the legacy of Kevin and Don's work. We've brought the first ever treatment facility to Baltimore County. We had that approval a couple weeks ago. And so that is coming.
I could feel Kevin smiling down on that. He really fought for that.
That's coming to life. And so, you know, but it's got to be, we have to be more intentional about this crisis. My sort of short stint of a couple years in the private sector dealt with data and analytics. And so how are we looking at the numbers to make sure that as we're providing treatment, we're bringing in the most effective treatment? How are we looking at providers to stop oversubscribing? How are we working with law enforcement to target really the places where it's really driving the distribution? I mean, so using data more intelligently, and that's true not just for the opioid crisis, but across county government in general. We collect a lot of data, but we've never really compiled it in a way that we can hold ourselves accountable. So I couldn't tell you, for example, how long it takes. Not yet. We're going to change that. I couldn't tell you today how long it takes for the average permit to get issued. So I don't know how I hold my department
accountable. Day one, right.
So how do I hold my department accountable on you're meeting the standard or not if I don't even know whether. So, but that's how we can use data to drive performance management in a way that says, what do our people expect here in Baltimore County? We'll set the goals, we'll measure the data, and we'll report on it. It goes back to that accountability and transparency, too, so people can see.
Well, you're either getting better or getting worse.
Exactly what we heard from Matt Gallagher, right? I mean, it just, every show builds on the other, because Matt laid out, you know, he was.
Well, we're getting better here,
the
Paul
founder. He was, you know, we had city state and stat and state stat, and Matt walked us through. It's funny because it's where you are in Baltimore County. Mm-hmm. He talked to us about when Governor O'Malley turned to him and said, guys, we need to do this. Build it. And they basically had a couple of months get it up and running because they wanted to have the kind of data that you're talking about.
That's right.
Now you spoke, Johnny. You spoke both at or taught a class at George Washington University, Goucher and others, on government leadership. Mm-hmm. What were you sharing with your students? What'd you tell them? What's the key to being a good leader?
You know, it's funny, and I'm going to beat the same drum. There was a book about that we really used. It was based on relational leadership. It was based on, you know, I think the best leaders articulate a vision, but don't make it so set in stone that it's my way or the highway, right? With our budget process, like I shared, I think we have to make these decisions, but like, tell me public, tell me council. And in the end, it was a little bit different, but very similar. You want to have your partners buy into where we are and where we're going, because that's, I think, the way you drive the most progress. When you have people believe in the roadmap as opposed to saying, this is what we're doing and I'm going to try to sell it. But you really want people to be adopters and to be part of the process. And again, just investing in that relationship with your partners is so critical. It makes such a difference.
Was that the thinking that drove the town halls? You came right out of the box. You had this budget mess. Whoever the guy was that was there before you left you a little bit of a something to be cleaned up. And you said, I've got to clean this up.
I think I know that guy.
Yeah, I think I know that guy. And
yet, if he had more time.
You came out of the gate and you said, I'm going to have a town hall in every councilmanic district.
Mm-hmm.
I would have lost $1 million.
How many is that?
7 councilmanic districts. But here's the bottom line, Nestor, and here's what we need to have Johnny talk about as we sort of wrap up. I would have told you he'd get 20 to 30 people, maybe on a good night 40, who would come out and talk about the Baltimore County budget and engage with the exec and the council member. 250, 300, every
night.
Everyone, right?
Yep, all 7.
Some of them standing room only, watching outside on
yep.
the TV.
Yep.
So what did you learn when you went from district to district? What did you learn about the budget?
That people want to be engaged and they want to have their voices heard, just in general. And I think it was refreshing for them to do it. I'm glad I did it because I actually didn't come in with any preconceived notions. I was prepared, frankly, to do it the other way. I was prepared to propose because, you know, the prevailing logic has been in Baltimore County, people would prefer cuts over everything else. And I was like, I'm not sure that's true, but let's go actually talk to residents and say, you know.
Well, you can't make it better by cutting, theoretically.
We've got an $81 million deficit. How do you want us to solve it? And people said, you need to plug that hole, but you also need to make more investments because what we're seeing is, in some respects, that's why the schools for the future was so important. We don't want our quality of life to decline. And so people, I was
and
shocked.
Schools are really high indicator, right? Like crime, but schools.
Yeah. Well, I was shocked that people not only were showing up and sharing what they wanted to see, they said, I'm willing to
right.
put some of my skin in the game. And it was these town halls. We had an online sort of budget tool where people could play county executive, and we had hundreds and hundreds of people submit
I
their
saw
budget.
That. Yes.
It was incredible. And so, but now on the back end, it's both, okay. Now we have this open budget platform where we're saying, here's the budget, here's what's adopted, here's where the money's going, and eventually we're going to get down to the contract where people can go in and say, okay, this contractor for this purpose, year to date, the police department is projected to spend X amount of money. They're 60% along, 70% of the way through the. I mean, it's really about keeping people engaged. So it's both, what do you want? Here's what we did. Here's how we hold ourselves accountable. And then you sort of keep that into a cycle. And, people know what they need in their communities. And I think when you are responsible for 800,000+ people, you're foolish if you don't tap into all that talent and expertise out there.
And you didn't lie to them. I mean, I mm-hmm. went to one of the sessions. I mean, you put all the numbers up. I mean, you walk them through the numbers at those meetings. Here's the deficit. Here's
right.
what it is. Here's, you know, and the
do
bill
people say,
came
how do we
due.
Get there? Is that a fair question? How do we get there? How do you get it? I mean, what?
How did we get?
Yeah,
how did we get there?
Tax enough, probably, right? Like literally.
I mean,
yeah.
we haven't.
Spend
we
more
had.
You brought in, period,
we had.
Right?
We hadn't raised revenues in over 30 years.
Right.
And people demanded services, and they demanded good schools, and so we just gotten to a point where we couldn't move things around anymore. I mean, we had tapped all of the. We had tapped all the reserve funds.
School, and you say, well, I don't have a kid in school. You don't want a neighborhood with bad school. You don't want to live in a community with a bad school, no matter what.
But people's initial reaction, and this is where I think the county executive really helped have these discussions. People came to these conclusions. People's immediate reaction is you can find enough just by cutting more, cutting more, cutting more. And then they realize you can't. I mean, I go back. Kevin Kamenetz was famous. You've heard me say it before, Nestor, that 80% of the schools in Baltimore County were more than 40 years old. They're not getting any younger. So this county executive is going to face increasing needs for maintenance. So
how long should a school last? What is 40? Is that
40, 50 years?
Right.
50 years.
Got a stadium. It's 30 years old, and it all feels like it came here a minute. I mean, it feels new to Camden Yards. We talk about it every week.
Right.
We'll talk about it next week. But ball to Bersey.
So here's perspective. When Camden Yards was first built, it cost about what a new high school costs now in Baltimore County. A year later, or a couple years later, when they built M&T, that ballooned. I think it went from like 100.
It was 200 to 5 to 600. It was
yeah.
It was like literally.
Well, and now you look at stadiums
yeah.
like
$3 billion, $5 billion.
Now we're talking
yeah.
billions of
yeah.
dollars.
Yeah.
So we have that same challenge in terms of infrastructure
right.
in the county.
What does it
the
cost to build
Dundalk
High?
today?
Yeah, well, what did it cost? 6 years ago, I guess, whatever it was, right?
I want to say maybe 90.
And that was actually two. Right. You had like a sort of a joint.
Two schools.
You actually had Sowers Point and Dundalk co-located.
90, so what, building that again today is $1.25. Like,
oh, we,
no, that's probably like $1.75, yeah. 200.
Because we,
oh,
yeah.
Wow. So
yeah,
if you
doubled.
If you would have done more of it before, it would have theoretically
doubled. It's actually gotten harder to make. I mean, and so that's all part of the challenge too. Is we try to really tackle these. Is but again, if I think if you are open, you allow yourself a little bit of vulnerability to say, look, I'm going to be honest with you guys here. And but if you honestly engage in a relationship and you say, please be part of this solution, people have responded to that and it's been really rewarding.
Well, we've gone way over. We've got the county executive schedule totally backed up at this point. We always ask folks, though, when they come in. Nestor calls it the James Lipton moment. You work 9 million hours a week. What do you do to kick back? How does Johnny O relax and find some time for himself? What do you like to do when you're not working?
I haven't done much of it, but I like to hop on my pontoon and just sort of cruise around the Chesapeake Bay for a little bit.
There you go.
Put on some tunes.
Come down one night, man.
Take a little cruise.
200 miles of waterfront.
Got to enjoy the 200 miles of waterfront. That's right.
All right, Baltimore County Executive. Some get one. I got two. Johnny O, Don Moeller, everyone here.
Great job, Johnny.
Jennings.
Thank you.
Everybody's been so polite and quiet here. I'm ready for a burger. Big thanks to everybody. We'll see you next week on Baltimore Positive.